Mayor, good morning.
I have been torn between a couple of things. I don't want to get too political, but both of them seemed like they were pretty political. To start out with, I found a little tidbit on Facebook the other day, and I thought it was pretty neat. It said, three men, three crosses, one hill. One man cursed, one man prayed, one man promised. One died condemned, one died forgiven, one died innocent. One died in sin, one died to sin, one died for sin. One was held by death, one was released by death, one conquered death. One lost life, one gained life, one was life. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice, and praise God, we have eternal life. Stop and think about that. We all know the story of Calvary, how two men railed on Christ. One realized that Christ was God and asked forgiveness. One didn't. All three died, one condemned, one forgiven, and the third one conquered death. And without that, why are we here? We're still all lost in our sin. But with the sacrifice of Jesus and the grace of God raising him from the dead, we have a reason to be here. We have hope for everlasting life, and we don't need to fear death. As we get a little older, we tend to think more on these things and wonder why. But that little story there told it all. That happened some 2,000 years ago, and we're still waiting for the great resurrection. So with that, let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We know we've got a monumental task ahead of us in November, electing a new president. I think it's going to get worse before it ever gets better, because we still got silly season and commercials and all that good stuff to listen to. Luke chapter 12, verses 1 and following. Let me get my cheater out here. It says hypocrisy will be revealed. Now this comes as the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus, so they can find something that he says that they can accuse him of. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. We've been seeing this off and on for the last 4 years with all the troubles our government has gone through and all the tribulations that our government agencies have gone through. And these things are starting to come out. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more than they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You know, we look on the news at any major city and you have shootings and drive-by shootings and murders and arson. And you just never know. Sometimes I'd hate to even drive through Indianapolis, let alone around it. But it's not just Indianapolis, it's everywhere. We should not fear them that can kill us, but fear the one who has the power to send us to hell. Because we know after hell there's a lake of fire. And nobody wants that for any man. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. I don't stand up here of my own accord. I stand up here in reverential awe of God. I know Jesus died for me, and I know I proclaim him as my Savior. And those verses there, they tell me that if you don't confess God before man, you're pretty much condemned. You don't have to stand up here and preach, but you can tell your friends, your neighbors. Laying in a hospital bed, you can tell the guy next to you. Grandkids get in trouble, you can tell them why Jesus is more important than whatever trouble they get into. But we need to respect God. He's the one that can condemn us to hell. Not the president, not the pope, not the preacher, just Jesus. Growing up in the 60s, we learned about Christ at home, in school, at church. It wasn't beaten into us. We just went to church and we went home and had chicken for dinner. It was just something that happened. Just like getting up next morning and going to school. And the saying that we hear, teach the children, and when they are old, they will come back to the ways of God. But if they don't learn it, how can they find their way back? Sometimes they can see a path, take a path. Someone leads them down the path. And more times than not, they're left to traverse their own path. And that's not very good. Look at verse 10. It says, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. I've said before that I just let my mind go blank and let the Holy Spirit say what he will. And that's exactly what happens. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, he'll lead you. If he gives you the power to speak, he'll tell you what to say. He'll encourage you along the way. He won't let fear overtake you. Because if it was up to me, I'd be out there sitting watching, just like every one of you. But I know Jim needs a break once in a while. We all do. So that's why I don't reject my Christ. I don't reject the Holy Spirit. I'll stand up here and speak. Doesn't faze me. But the Lord knows what I'm doing, even if I don't. He knows what you're doing, even if you don't. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. He's within all of us who believe. And I believe right now everyone in this room believes. And that's a good thing. As we look on, we have a parable here. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. If you've ever had siblings and inheritance, you can understand sometimes there's a bit of a rift. At this day and time, the eldest got everything to do with what he pleased. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It's amazing. We all want stuff. We want money. We want fortune. We want fame. We want kids. We want land. We want mansions. God never said he would provide for us the riches of this earth. He gives us what we need. All the things that we have when we die will be somebody else's. You sell the house, somebody will buy it. Sell the cars, somebody will buy them. All the things that you have will be somebody else's. For you have no need of them. It's just amazing how much people want instead of thanking the Lord for having what they need. Christ warns against earthly anxiety. He said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add a stature, or to his stature, one cubit? We can't grow another inch tall just because we think we need to be taller. And Lord knows we can't lose weight just because we think we're fat. That takes a little more patience, a little more trying. If ye then be not able to do the thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? If you can't do the little things, how can you do the big things? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow was cast into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Still, or sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, for no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For there, or where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. God knows what we need. God gives us what we need. It may not be what we want. We may want a Lexus and he gives us a Chevy. We may want a steak and he gives us a hamburger. We may want a mansion and he gives us a two-room shack. We may want a suit and tie, but we have blue jeans and t-shirts. We have a roof over our head, clothes on our back, food on our table, everything we need for life, God provides. God provides. What a wonderful saying. He provides for us at birth. He provides for us in life. He provides for us in death if we just accept the fact that Jesus died for us. So let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. When he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open them to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, He would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. We have no idea when Jesus is coming. He may come today. He may come 1,000 years from now. We're not to know when he's to come. We're to be ready for his coming. We praise God. We give monetarily to God. We try to live a godly life. Are we going to make mistakes? Of course, we're sinners. God knows this. But with that in mind, we can still do our best. And God knows that also. We need to be ready at all times. So we don't need to go out and party on Saturday night, because that may be the night that the Lord needs your soul. And I don't think you'd want to go to heaven in that condition. We don't need to be argumentative, as if we're in the middle of a fight, we may miss the call. If that's the case, I wouldn't want to go to Christ in that condition either. We can pray. We can give. We can tell. There's many things we can do while we're waiting and watching for God, for Jesus. But if we neglect these things, then are we really watching? Are we really waiting for him to come? Oh, I can do that tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. I can tell my neighbor tomorrow. That night your neighbor gets killed in a car crash. I can tell a kid that TP'd my house and really made a mess in my yard, that this isn't the way things should be. But then he goes to jail for raping his girlfriend. These are just little things that we can say, we can do. We don't have to be obnoxious about it. Just be loving, be helpful. Some parents need a lot of help. Give them a hand. If you have kids there, same age as theirs, offer to take the kids to the movies or to bowling or whatever. Just give the parents a break. Some parents don't have that option. We see it more and more today that neighbors don't know neighbors. They don't care enough about their neighbors to get to know them, to know their trials, their tribulations. When I was a kid, I'd ride my bicycle into Buffalo and I couldn't do a thing. Because everybody knew my mom's phone number. Everybody knew my grandma. Everybody knew where I belonged, who I belonged to, and if I screwed up, I couldn't outrun that telephone home. I didn't have a chance. So we behaved. We rode all over town, we played in the graveyard, we played in the schoolyard. We didn't tear things up. We just had fun. Nowadays, I don't know if I'd let my child ride a bicycle from where I lived out north of Buffalo to town. The way some of these cars fly up and down these country roads. Not knowing who your neighbor is or what they're capable of or what they've done. That's just a small town. How much more intensified would it be in an inner city? It's a scary thought. But the times are scary. But Jesus says, fear not. For I know what you need, have need of. Trust me. If we can't trust Jesus, who can we trust? Surely not to politicians. Surely not to world leaders. I mean, you've got Russia invasions. You've got Gaza Strip fiasco. And everybody's waiting and watching to see what happens in Washington. The Muslims are spreading more and more across the globe. Right now, I don't have any Muslim friends. We don't have many Muslims in our vicinity, in our area. But in some of the towns that do, I'm sure they're friendly for the most part. They're just like Christians. There's some that are good and some that are not so good. They're just like Shinto or Buddhist or any other world religion. There's some that's good and some that's not so good. But the question is, have they trusted Jesus? And I believe we're beginning to see a lot more of that. The Muslims, the Shinto, the Buddhist are all coming to the conclusion that maybe their religion isn't quite as right as they thought. Maybe Christianity is the place to be. Maybe Christ was God incarnate. He did live a sinless life and died for our sins. That's what we have to teach. That's what we have to show. Excuse me. That's what we all have to wonder about. What can I do to proclaim Christ? Who can I talk to? Why am I afraid to say anything? God gives us great strength and power. Satan instills fear. The more we talk about God, the more we glorify the kingdom. The less we say about God, the more Satan can take those who don't know. It's God's will that none should perish. He also gave us free will. Satan deceived a third of the angels. How many more humans has he deceived? Christ will keep increasing his kingdom until the end of time. After the rapture, there'll be 144,000 Jews preaching the gospel. During the tribulation, untold numbers will be saved, both Jews and Gentiles alike. When Christ comes and separates the sheep from the goats, those who believe and those who don't, then we'll know the truth. Whether we were right in believing in Christ or whether it was all one big hoax. I'm not willing to bet 50-50 on that. I'm going to go with Christ every time. And it's not just in case. It's because of the Word. This Word has stood for 1,800 years, if not longer. We have a picture of the beginning of time with Adam and Eve to the end of time, life with Jesus, or life in outer darkness, the lake of fire. It's up to each one to make a decision. As I've said, we have free will. We can choose life with Jesus, or we can choose not life and go through this life doing whatever we want, whenever we want. And when we die, we die. And then we'll find out we were wrong. We'll end up in hell, waiting in the lake of fire. Not a good thought. As we skip on down to chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, says a call to repentance. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. For those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I say, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent. That's a pretty big word. Turn your back on the evils that you've done. Turn your face toward Jesus. And allow him to send the helper that he promised. That's the Holy Ghost. Repent, accept the Holy Ghost, and ye shall have everlasting life. Are we going to be perfect? Not until after the rapture. Are we going to fall into the pit? Maybe. We all have troubles. We all have trials. We're all sinners. Sin nature hasn't been taken away from us. We've just been given the Holy Spirit to lead us in the right direction. That's what I believe. Repent and live. Disregard. A life of sorrow. Then hell. Then the lake of fire. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, Lord, and learn somewhat of what it means to me to repent, to love you, Lord, to do as you will. Sometimes it's hard to stand up and do your will. But it don't take much to disavow you. If we disavow you, Lord, you will disavow us. If we praise you, then you will show us to God as a true believer. For these things we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see. For our final hymn today, we have hymn number 400. No, that's not right. 417, just as I am. Let's just sing the first verse. Please stand. Thank everybody for being here, and come again next week. And Jerry, would you close us in prayer, sir?
Lord, we come to you just so humbled. We know as human beings we have no right to approach you through prayer, but we know, Lord, because of your grace, your mercy, your love for us, that we have that right. And in fact, Lord, you encourage it. And for these things, we are just so grateful. We ask all things that we pray through Jesus' precious name. Amen.